along with Deacon James this weekend. I want to welcome Alex Alou, who is helping us with music ministry this weekend while Kathleen Rhea takes some well-deserved vacation time. So thank you, Alex. One of the beautiful things about the church calendar is how often certain feasts and seasons come together in a way that helps us to see the gospel more clearly. Just 2 days ago, you'll recall we celebrated the great solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then this Sunday, as we just heard in our second reading from St. Paul, where Paul proclaims what is probably one of the most moving descriptions of God's love for us that we hear in all of Scripture, that while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That reading from Romans gives us a glimpse into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that Sacred Heart that burns with love for us, that Sacred Heart that we're celebrating all this month, and of course, as we celebrated with the solemnity on Friday. And perhaps this is important for us right now, because every June in particular, the culture spends a good deal of time talking about love, identity, acceptance, belonging, and what it means to be truly human. You know, these conversations that can be emotional, at times divisive, that, you know, can really touch people very personally. And I'm sure among us there are those who have family members, friends, children, neighbors, coworkers, grandchildren, who've struggled with questions regarding sexuality or same-sex attraction or gender identity. You know, they're not abstract questions for many. They touch us very personally. They touch real lives and relationships. And so for many Catholics, they raise sincere questions about, you know, how do I remain faithful to the teachings of Christ and his church while loving others well, while continuing to love well? And so the question becomes, how should a Catholic approach these conversations and realities? Well, the first thing we have to remember is that the church doesn't approach these questions as one opinion among many, right? The culture, the world, certainly offers many competing answers about love, identity, sexuality, freedom, and happiness. But Christ hasn't left us to figure these things out on our own, right? The same Jesus whose Sacred Heart burns with love for every one of us has also revealed the truth about the human person, the truth which is rooted in his love. And he continues to, you know, teach that truth through his church. So when these questions arise, Catholics aren't called to just, you know, follow the latest trend or a political movement cultural consensus. We're called to listen, once again, to Christ. We're called to listen to him who alone reveals both who God is and who you and I are, who we are. And what we discover in that, in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, is that, you know, something the world, the culture, often struggles to hold together, which is truth and love. Truth and love. Now, the world often presents these two as though they're opposed to one another. Kind of gives us these two false choices. Right, the first that says, if you love someone, you must affirm everything they desire. Love means never challenging, never correcting, never calling someone to change. The second choice is something like, if someone is struggling with sin or confusion, they don't really belong until they get their life together. But of course, the message of the gospel is much deeper and of course offers a different path. Hey, listen again to the words of St. Paul from our second reading. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after we fixed ourselves, not after we became holy, not after we earn his approval. Right? While we were still sinners, which means no one is beyond the reach of God's love. No one. No one is too broken. No one has to earn an invitation to come to Jesus. But then notice also, Christ died for us not so that we could remain trapped in sin, but so that we could be reconciled and transformed. That his love meets us, it receives us where we are, but it doesn't leave us there. It doesn't leave us there. He loves us too much to leave us there. The Sacred Heart reveals both of these truths at the same time. This infinite mercy and this transforming love and his truth. There's a kind of love we see that loves because it finds something attractive or desirable or pleasing in the beloved, in the one, the object of one's love, right? This is kind of like that eros kind of love where we get the word erotic, right? Which is fine when, you know, properly ordered, but the love of God goes much deeper. The love of God, the agape love, his love that isn't caused by our goodness. Again, as St. Paul says, perhaps for a good person, one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Sacred Heart loves us not because we are lovable. The Sacred Heart loves us not because we are lovable, but because he is love. He is love. He makes us lovable. And that love also reveals something important about the church's teaching on sexuality. You know, often it can be presented merely as a list of prohibitions, right? A collection of things to which the church says no. But we see the church has a beautiful vision of human love and sexuality and marital love, right? The church teaches that our bodies matter, that we're not accidents, that we're created intentionally by God, that we're created in his image and likeness, male and female, that marriage isn't merely a human invention, but a divine gift, right? That sexual love has a purpose and a meaning written into it by God himself, beautifully. That ordered sexual love between husband and wife toward a total, faithful, fruitful union between husband and wife, and that every one of us, whether married or single, is called to the virtue of chastity, right? Chastity is often misunderstood, right? People will hear the word chastity and think only of restrictions, right? And so, or maybe like chastity applies only to single people, but chastity is so much deeper. Right? We're all called to chastity, and chastity isn't a rejection of sexuality. Rather, every one of us is called to live chastely according to our state in life, because it's the ordering of our desires according to God's plan. It's the integration of one's sexuality within the person so that our desires are guided by truth and ordered then to an authentic love. Chastity is really the integration of both love and truth. It's learning to love as God loves, including often with a sacrificial kind of love, rather than allowing our desires to define us or control us. St. Paul reminds us again in the second reading today that our deepest identity isn't found in our attractions or desires or achievements or even in our failures. But our deepest identity is that you and I, brothers and sisters, are loved with an infinite love by our Heavenly Father. Our deepest identity is that you and I are loved with an infinite love by God. that same love we see in the heart of Jesus, the sacred heart of Jesus, that divine human heart that loves, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we did anything to deserve it, before we had anything to offer of our own, before we could claim any righteousness of our own, Christ loved us. He loved us. Dilexinos, the Latin, he loved us, which is also the name of an encyclical by Pope Francis from 2024, which I really want to commend to you. Right, this beautiful encyclical from Pope Francis, Dilexinos, on the human divine love of the heart of Jesus, which is the foundation of our identity. It's who we are. Right, that we receive his love and we are loved with an infinite love, and that's how we receive our identity, every one of us. Every one of us carries wounds. Every one of us experiences desires not always ordered toward what is good. You know, whether those struggles involve pride or anger or lust or greed or selfishness or any other number of temptations, every one of us is in need of God's grace. Every one of us needs conversion. The church's teachings on sexuality aren't directed against any one group of people, right? It's a call addressed to every one of us. It's part of the larger invitation that Christ gives us to holiness. And every one of us is called to greater holiness. Right? The church believes every human person is made in the image and likeness of Almighty God, that every person possesses immeasurable dignity, that every person is loved by Christ. Every person is invited by Christ into communion with him and called to follow him, to follow his commands and to follow him. Every person is someone for whom the sacred heart of Jesus was pierced. And because every person matters, truth matters too. Truth matters too. That real, authentic love always seeks the good of the other. Real, authentic love always seeks the good of the other, the good of the beloved. And the church doesn't teach that what she teaches because she wants to burden her children. The church teaches what she teaches because God's plan leads to our flourishing, to our freedom, to our happiness. The church isn't merely saying no, right? She's saying yes. She's saying yes to a beautiful vision of the human person, of human love willed by God, in which our dignity comes from being sons and daughters of God the Father, that our identity comes from being loved, that our bodies have meaning, that love is more than desire or feelings, right? That we as human persons have these incredible powers within ourselves to transcend desire and feelings, and thus experience true freedom which comes from God, that's not the ability to do whatever we want, but to have the real capacity to become who God created us to be. That's truly powerful. That's how we become truly free. This truth then, brothers and sisters, should also shape the way we speak with others about these topics. Every person is more than a label, more than a political category, more than a single struggle, right? Before offering answers, we should be willing to listen. We should be willing to listen, not because truth changes from person to person, but because people need to know they are loved. People need to know they are loved first, before they can hear sometimes, you know, what are difficult truths. That's the way of Jesus. That's what we see throughout the Gospels. You know, in our Gospel for this Sunday, as we just heard, notice what Jesus does. He sees the crowd, and as it says, he's moved with pity, moved with compassion for them. The original Greek here is, I love this word. So many fun Greek words in the New Testament. Splagnitsima. Splagnitsima, which literally means to be moved as to one's bowels. To be moved as to one's bowels. It's very evocative. But our Lord is trying to tell us something about his heart, about the heart of God and how he loves. How he loves us, his sheep, as he's stirred with compassion, because as it says, they are troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the sacred heart that loves. Before Jesus teaches them, he sees them. He sees them. And so it's perhaps providential that during this same month, we celebrate saints who witness courageously to God's plan for human love. Right? Earlier this month, we celebrated the feast of the Ugandan martyr, St. Charles Lwanga and companions, who gave their lives courageously, surrendering not the virtue of chastity, but witnessing courageously these young men to chastity. And then later this month, we'll celebrate St. John the Baptist, his feast. And St. John the Baptist, of course, who ultimately lost his life because he spoke the truth. He witnessed courageously to the sanctity of marriage and human sexuality. Right? Neither of these saints and any of these courageous saints like hate those whom they're confronting or teaching or just trying to speak harshly. And they're not just staying in silence either. They're not just leaving people where they're at, because they know that love calls us to more. Love calls us to more. And their witness reminds us that truth and love can never be separated. Truth and love can never be separated. You know, so Catholics, our response to the conversations of the culture shouldn't be fear or anger or hostility. Our response should be the love and mercy of God, the love and mercy of Jesus, the infinite love and mercy of God in his sacred heart that we've all received, a heart that reveals the truth about the human person, that never ceases to love sinners, as undeserving as we are, a heart that calls every one of us, whatever our particular struggles, to repentance, to holiness, and to conversion, and ultimately communion with God. You know, in a culture that so often separates truth from love or love from truth, the Sacred Heart teaches us both, shows us how both are held together. And if we stay close to his heart, brothers and sisters, we can become the kind of disciples our world desperately needs, the disciples our Lord is calling. People whose words are truthful, whose hearts are compassionate, like our Lord's, whose lives bear witness to the one who loved us while we were still sinners, and who still loves us and will always love us with an infinite love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.